destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp coming to you live from California. It is 7:30 p.m. and the sun is just about setting over the horizon here. It's been a cold day. We had some cold weather lately, which is unusual here. I think the high in the last couple of days has only been in the 70s. And mornings are quite cool. I kind of like it myself. I like getting under the covers at night, snuggling up. It's one of my favorite things. Hope you're having a wonderful day today. Today is August the 6th. Today is a Leo Seven of Diamonds day. Some of you have heard me talk about Seven of Diamonds. I say they're from another planet. And they are. They're really, in some kind of unique way, they are very unusual people. They sort of fall in a different category than other people. Take, for example, people born today. Lucille Ball was born today. Andy Warhol was born today. Actor Robert Mitchum. Actress Lisa Boyle. And if you know, some of the people that are Seven of Diamonds, like Sting's a Seven of Diamonds too. He's not a Leo though, but he's a Seven of Diamonds. Look at some of the people, and they're very, very interesting people, very different in some almost undefinable way. One thing about Seven of Diamonds is, though, that you probably don't know, is they're very devoted to their families. They will go out of their way to keep a family together, even though they themselves may not be the best marriage material in the available, they really do try to keep the family together themselves. And this is because they have a fixed card in their Venus position in their life spread. They have a Jack of Hearts in Venus. That Jack of Hearts in Venus makes them very codependent is one thing that comes up with that card. Trying to save people, but there's a fixed quality to that will make them, have them want to keep a family unit going. But they themselves can be very weird and have very strange behaviors that goes against family, having a family. So it's a very unusual card. The seven, I was talking about the seven this morning. The seven is the card that falls in the middle of the suit. It's halfway between the ace and the king. So a seven has one foot in the mundane and one foot in the spiritual. And so they have access to both, and they will go to extremes at times. And when they hit the spiritual side, they have an unlimited quality that comes in. They have a gift of some kind that causes them to rise up above the normal restrictions that we have in life, the normal boundaries, you might say, that we have in life. So they're very unusual, and Seven of Diamonds, of course, can be a millionaire's card, and it can also be a card that takes away your money. If you have a card, that card show up in your yearly spread. So that's our little spiel on the Seven of Diamonds. And when we have a Leo, we always have the most the most dramatic version of that card. It's kind of good to study the Leo versions of cards because they are very dramatic and very easy to kind of spot the key characteristics. They tend to dramatize the characteristics. Now, we have a lot of people listening on the show lately, and a lot of people, I would say most of the people listening on the show are people that have my book, The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards. And they're listening in part to learn something. They like the show because they get a chance to learn new things about the cards. When they hear me do readings for people, they're listening very carefully, and they hope to get the birthday so they can look up the spreads of the people themselves that I'm talking about and look up their cards. And I'll try to remember to give that, though I can't necessarily guarantee that in every case, but I try to be mindful of that. But this show is also for people to call in and get readings. And we will be having that a little bit later this evening. And that is the bulk of our show. That really comprises two-thirds or three-fourths of our show, usually every night, is people calling in and asking questions. This is your show, and I want you to utilize it however you want. You're welcome also to call in and ask a question about your card studies. If you're stuck on something you don't understand about using the books, sure, you can call in for that too. Why not? We can have fun with all of that. And we like to use your cards as examples when we're talking about different theories and subjects. So tonight's topic is about the key to happiness. Now, I don't know where I came up with that term, but when I was very young, and I grew up in a very poor family that had lots of problems. There were lots of difficulties in my childhood. We were very poor for one thing. My father was an alcoholic. He was gone for a period of time. He was in jail for a period of time, actually. My mother was on welfare. There was fighting between my mother and father when he was around. And there were seven of us, seven children. And, you know, I don't know if that had how much of an impact that had on me, but there was a part of me that just always knew that there was something that I could know or understand about life that would be a key that would unlock the doors to having a happy life. And I would call it the key to happiness. And I think I was probably less than 12 years old or less than 10 years old when I began thinking about this. What is the key to happiness? And I used to read self-help books when I was very young, too. I started reading those at a young age, looking for answers, and I came across some pretty cool books. I remember The Mystic Path, The Cosmic Power by Vernon Howard, I think that's the author. Really a great book. And all these books were talking about the power of affirmation and using the subconscious mind. And I really did get a lot out of those books. But I myself had not yet experienced the happiness that I was seeking. I was still looking. I was still looking for happiness, though I had had some clues and I was practicing some of the things that I had read about. I remember that just reading the books would cause me to have a shift in consciousness. I would actually get sort of like high in a sense. Definitely I would get sort of an elevated consciousness just by reading the book and having this sort of mental breakthrough and about something in life. But after doing that for quite a while, I realized there was still something missing because I would have a little high, let's say, and get a little spiritually inspired, but it wouldn't last. I would go back to my life, and I would be the same unhappy person that I was before. Then I remember when I was 17 the first time I had sex, and I was interested in being intimate even at a younger age, and I had intimate experiences with the opposite sex at a younger age, but I never actually had sex until I was 17. And when I had sex for the first time, it just blew me away, the experience of the orgasm totally, like, it was so far beyond anything I'd ever experienced in my life in terms of a feeling of pleasure and happiness, that all of a sudden became my goal in life. My goal in life, starting around age 17, was to have sex as often as I could. And I looked around at that time, and I noticed that the guys that were getting most of the girls were guys playing in rock and roll bands. So I started playing in a rock and roll band. And sure enough, within 6 months or so, I had a bunch of girlfriends, and I was living the life of a young rock and roll guitar player and having sex with as many women as I could. And that went on for a few years. And then I realized that really wasn't going to really make me happy either. It was fun, but it didn't really lead to anything. And I was getting tired of having these shallow relationships with women and just kind of using them really for what I wanted, getting what I wanted from them. And my life, again, I began to face the fact that I didn't really have any meaning in my life, and I was still searching, and I was playing in music, and I started to get really good at guitar, and I really thought, you know, I might pursue a musical career. And actually, at one point around the age of 19 or 20, or maybe, 19, 20 in there, I was playing in, like, the number one group in the whole state of Florida. And we did not play clubs. We played concerts. We were a very well-known group, and I was a lead guitar player. I got to play guitar. I got to sing. And I had reached the pinnacle of my career. I mean, I was really up there with a full-time gig, traveling around, playing guitar in the hottest group in the state of Florida at that time. And I was miserable, still searching. And it wasn't, it was along in that, it was around between the ages of 19 and 23 that some of my friends were all, we were all doing a lot of smoking pot and stuff around that time, and somebody turned me on to some LSD. And then I took some LSD, and I was with a bunch of my friends, and I had an experience that nobody else among my friends had. I had an experience of cosmic consciousness. I had an experience of being completely one with everything and having what I can describe as having universal consciousness. I knew everything. I could look at a person's face, and I could read every line on their face, and I could read their thoughts. And this is, I was only 20-some years old, like 21 or so. But I had this experience for about 6 to 8 hours of being, basically being God and being one with God. And I realized in that moment that this was the feeling I was searching for. This was the experience that I was searching for, the experience of being totally one and being totally at ease and completely happy and non-resistant. And non-egotistical either, because getting to that state of mind required me to go through a big surrender. And I can't really describe that into words. It's kind of hard to describe. But it was my introduction to my spiritual path. And shortly after I had that experience, and none of my friends did, they thought I was crazy. I was hugging trees and, you know, having fun with nature. And they all left me because I was acting so weird. But they couldn't relax. They couldn't rest. They were all frantic, which is what LSD would do to you when you're fighting against it. So my friends left me, and they didn't have my experience, and didn't have that in common. But I did meet a friend shortly after that, and he had on his bookshelf a book called Be Here Now by a man named Ram Dass. And when I opened that book, I saw illustrations of all the things that I had seen when I was tripping when I closed my eyes, and I realized this guy, Ram Dass, has experienced what I experienced. And he was saying, yes, this, he was explaining it all in something I'd never even thought about. He was talking about yoga, and he was talking about how you can attain that state of mind without drugs through the practice of yoga. And he was talking about gurus, and he was talking about India, and he was talking about ashrams, and he was talking about practices, and he was talking about living a different kind of life. And I devoured that book. And shortly after I read that book, I began taking yoga classes here and there. And also I began looking for a teacher. I began looking for a guru. And when I was 23 years old, I found my teacher. I found my guru. And I moved into a yoga ashram where I ended up living for 10 years. The first 5 years I was completely celibate, and I was practicing yoga like a yoga boot camp. And still, I hadn't really found complete happiness. I did have many incredible experiences during my stay at the ashram where I lived. And I did have experiences of being in bliss without drugs during that stay. But I was still searching for what is the key to real happiness, to really being happy? You know, like, what is that? So I was still searching. And, you know, I came out of the ashram all full of energy and full of ambition, and I got married, and I had, after being celibate, got married and had relationships again, and I was married 3 times in a row over a period of 20 years. And it was during that time that I discovered the card system and got involved in this work. And I really did find a sense of contentment and happiness in the work that I was doing with the cards. It satisfied me on so many levels. But the key to happiness itself became elusive to me until I began to really study the laws of prosperity. And for me, understanding the laws of prosperity was the real key, because I began to realize that every moment in my day, in my life, I always have a choice as to what I put my attention upon. And I'm a Queen of Diamonds, and Queen of Diamonds tend to be pessimistically oriented. We, by nature, we are pessimistically oriented. We have the Seven of Clubs is our lifetime Saturn card, which is a challenging card of the mental being more on the downside to have that. And we're also, with a Saturn-Mercury card, one of the two Saturn-Mercury cards in the deck, so that we, both of those influences together, bring a sort of a pessimism to Queen of Diamonds. But it also has a good side, too, of course. Everything does, and the good side is we have a mind that penetrates, that can really penetrate into the secrets of things. But studying about prosperity, I realized that a lot of my unhappiness was due to how I looked at things and how much was I really appreciating what I had. I mean, when I walk around my house right now, right this moment, I'm sitting here in my house, in my office, I'm looking around, I'm surrounded by so many beautiful, so many useful, so many wonderful, so many things that I have, that I, you know, just physical things, but there's so many. And I ask myself, how often do I really appreciate? How much can I really appreciate all these things that I have? So it really is, happiness is not something that it comes by getting something, which is what I've always tried to do in my life. And I'm a very goal-oriented person, and probably a lot of you out there listening, especially if you're an ace or a 10 or an ace or a 10 ruling card, and other cards too, like Six of Clubs, these cards can be extremely goal-oriented, career-oriented, goal-oriented. And for us, we're always chasing after something to find a sense of fulfillment. But fulfillment never comes in the acquisition of an external thing. It doesn't. There might be a brief sort of satisfaction because now there's an ending to that quest for that thing. But immediately after that, there's this emptiness. And people who are very goal-oriented do not feel comfortable sitting in the emptiness. They don't feel comfortable being without a huge goal or direction for their life. And I'm one of those kind of people. But I really found through my study of prosperity that it all comes down to the one thing, and that is, how much am I appreciating what's already here in my life that I already manifested. How could I, and when I look around sometimes and see all the things that I have going in my life, I ask myself, how could I even feel unhappy for a moment when I look around and see how blessed I am? I mean, really, if you just live in the United States, you're better off than about probably 90% of the world's population, just on that basic level of having things. And having, and not only that, not just having things, but having some freedom about what you do in your life. Think about that, too. So if you really want the key to happiness, it's about how much you can look at your life and take in what you have. The sevens teach us this, by the way. It's funny that today's the Seven of Diamonds day, because that's the whole message of the Seven of Diamonds. Are we looking at the glass half empty or the glass half full? You know, are we, imagine like a Seven of Spades. You know, Seven of Spades people, they'll often have physical ailments. Let's say they have something and they're crippled in one leg. The challenge for a Seven of Spades is to focus on the fact that they have one good leg. Imagine if you had to be happy only having one arm or one leg or only one kidney or not being able to walk at all or not being able to see or having some other affliction that prevented you from having a complete life. Do you think you could be happy in that situation? Do you think you could take stock of what you had and still feel so fortunate? And then you take people that have so much money and so much power and so much of everything, and they can be unhappy just like the person who is sitting on the side of the road with nothing. The state of unhappiness comes from not appreciating. That's the bottom line. And if we're not putting something into appreciation in our life each day, and it's like a little penny bank, you know, you put money into it, you put your attention into it. We each have this little piggy bank called appreciation. And if we don't put money into it, it dwindles down. And our sense of happiness dwindles down with it. We become more focused on what we don't have. But there's nobody listening to this show tonight, there's nobody that I know that doesn't have a tremendous amount to be grateful for. And we have so much freedom, we just don't appreciate. There's so much that I think it would be almost impossible. I think it would be almost a full-time job. I mean full-time, like 20 hours a day or 16 hours a day, just to keep stock of how much we have to be grateful for. So if you're feeling unhappy at times, it's always because your mind is focused in on something. You have become attached to something. You have told yourself, for whatever reason, that you have to have something or someone or some experience, and you're not having it, therefore you're unhappy. And unhappiness is just the distance between what is and what you want there to be. It's very simple. Unhappiness is the difference between the distance, you might even say, the distance between what is happening, what really is happening, and what we would like it to be, what we're attached to be. And this is especially true for those that are really good at manifesting things. We have a good mind. We know how to manifest stuff really easily. And then when things don't go right, we become unhappy. It doesn't take much. I mean, you could spend an entire life being unhappy. If there was one thing that you focused on that you couldn't have, you could keep yourself unhappy for an entire lifetime by just whining about one thing that you never, ever were able to have. Or you could take the other side of that and you could be extremely happy with just one thing. They say that to an enlightened man, a lump of coal is the same as a piece of gold. To an enlightened man, a lump of coal or a rock on the road has the same value as a piece of gold. It's all in the perspective. And what's the most amazing thing is that we have control over our perspective. What happens in today's society is so many of us, our mental being smart and using our mind is so emphasized by our culture in America today that nobody gets any points growing up for really appreciating. They just get it for being smart. And if you get smart, you're going to get a job, which means you're not going to have to suffer. It means you're not going to you're going to have money. And you're going to need money so you can get married, so you can have kids, so you can get old, so you can die. That's basically it. There's a life cycle right there, folks. What do you think? So when are we going to be happy in the midst of all this, in the midst of this life that is flowing by? You know, what stage are you at? Are you in the young child stage? Are you in the young adult stage, going to school, the club stage? Are you in the money-making years, you know, marriage, making money, you know, all those things that come with that, relationships, you know, challenges at work and so forth? Are you in having kids, and are you in building a fortune and having a house? Are you at the stage where your kids are gone and now you're on your own again? You don't know what you're going to do. You're at that age. Are you getting older and looking at your death? That's basically all there is, you know. Life is just like that. If we're going to make any kind of lasting impression on this planet, it's going to be through the happiness that we feel in our life. It's going to be through the love that we share. And that comes through focusing on those things that we have to be grateful for. And that's the key. That's the key. That's the only key I think there is. Okay, we're going to take a short break, people. Hope you're still with us. And when we come back, the lines are now all open. As far as I know, they're all working. If you go to bbsradio.com, all the lines should be listed there. They should all be working. When we come back from this break, we're going to have question and answers. And let's pick a song for this break. I would like to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the full version. Oh, yeah. No, not the full one, the unfull one. So, Seth, if you could play that, and when we come back, if there's some people calling in, we're going to talk to them. So now's the time, folks. Call in. Let's hear from you. See you soon.
Hare Hare.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. Hope you're having a pleasant evening. I've been told that line 4 is actually being taken for the next hour. That is the one that ends in 3-2-2-3. So that leaves us with, I believe, line 2 and line 3. Well, line 2 is now taken because we have Larry, who I talked to earlier today, calling from Ottawa, Canada. Can we put Larry on?
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, Larry, good to talk to you again.
Thank you for having the show. I really enjoy listening to it.
Oh, thanks, Larry. It's good to have you. And I'll tell everybody now that your birthday is January 2nd, 1962, and you are a Queen of Spades, which is only one birthday for that card, very rare card. So we're honored to have you on our show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I'd just like to ask questions about the relationship, long distance.
Yeah, you have a new girlfriend? You have a new girlfriend who is born on January 28th?
Correct.
And she's a Queen of Clubs, Seven of Diamonds?
Yes.
And I think it's good. What questions do you have about it?
Anything you want to tell me that might be useful, nothing in particular. Just if you see any of our cards, like, lining up together, matching, and certain things happening?
Well, see, first of all, she's your karma cousin, first of all. You have a Ten of Diamonds karma card. You're a Queen of Spades. And the Ten of Diamonds' first karma card is the Queen of Clubs. So you give to the Ten of Diamonds. The Ten of Diamonds gives to her. Thus, you give to her. But not in an obligatory way. It's more like just an energy flow. Okay? And then the other thing is that her Queen of Clubs, your ruling card is the King of Clubs. So her queen is moon to your king, which is a really beautiful connection for relationship. So, you know, I think it's you guys are off to a really good start.
Sounds good.
Yeah. How's it going so far?
Anything you can tell me about work or anything like that with business?
Well, first of all, how's your relationship going so far?
Well, it's long distance. We see each other once every winter type of thing. And sort of going with the flow for the moment, seeing what happens and whether we can put it together that we're spending time, either both of us together in her country or in my country, and sharing, you know.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, the potential for marriage is very strong here, if that's what you want, you know. If that's what you are looking for, that could be the one. But I don't know if you're, it sounds like you're not completely sure.
Well, I just am freshly divorced and separated for about 2 years. I'm going through my period of aloneness in a way, too.
Are you officially divorced yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. That's good. All right. So, what kind of work do you do, Larry?
I'm starting a new business in mini storage.
Owning a mini storage?
Yes. I should be hopefully opening the doors this fall.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, the cards look good for that. I mean, you have a Jack of Diamonds in Uranus this year. That's a good card for real estate deals.
So I should ideally try to time the opening while that's present?
You have good cards all the way through the year, but that's usually the best time of the year if you have good cards to do real estate transactions.
Okay.
The Uranus period of the year. Now, when I look at your next year, there's money. I mean, you definitely have money coming in your future. There's no doubt about that. But it's not going to be the main topic after your next birthday. The main topic is going to be love.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And you have a lot of hard cards next year. You don't have that many this year, but you have a lot next year. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't get quite that far. Some little aspects of it, yes, but not in too deep.
Yeah, like you have a Six of Hearts long range next year, for example. And you also have a Three of Hearts in Venus and an Ace of Hearts in Mars. And that's a lot of hearts. Nine of Hearts, Pluto. So the theme is going to be more relationship. The money thing is not really going to be an issue. It's not really an issue for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that's true.
It's not really that big of a deal. You're going to be fine. And you're entering into the most blessed year next year, too, which is very nice. So, you know, I don't normally go ahead, I mean, go that far forward, but when I see such an outstanding year, I want you to know about it.
And this being my pinnacle year, too.
So, with a long-range Six of Hearts, there's a potential that, you know, you could meet somebody that you were destined to be with.
And is there are there similar aspects in the Queen of Clubs?
Well, I mean, you know, it depends. You know, first of all, Larry, it doesn't sound like you really sure what you want to do with her.
Silence.
Yeah. So you know, you're asking the wrong person. You should be asking yourself, like, what are your intentions? Because, you know, I'm not going to sit here and look up and see whether she's got herself getting married to you next year when you haven't even decided what you want to do.
Well, things are great. I'm happy when I'm with her. It's just the getting our acts together so we can be together. That's all.
Well, that's just logistic stuff. That's easy.
Not always so simple, but...
Where does she live? Russia?
Jamaica. It's just as difficult getting a visa out of there, too.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, she's got marriage cards next year. If it's
Pardon?
Not you, it'll be somebody else.
You're telling me too much then already, then. Okay. Well, it's looking good. We're both aiming for it. We're both hoping that that's the way it'll be.
Yeah, and you're both going to get your wish come true. So
sounds good.
You know, I don't think there's really any problem here. And I think you're in a very good position to have your dreams come true. And you guys are obviously compatible. There's a lot of good between you.
Yes, yes.
Isn't it nice to know that? Easy
relation.
Especially when you're investing so much energy and time and hooking up with somebody so far away, it's nice to know that you're not wasting your time.
That's true. Yes. Well, it feels special, like quite special.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a mutually giving relationship, and I think it has all the elements that you would want for an ideal marriage.
Sounds too good.
And I'm sure she wants to get married, too.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know she wants a little girl.
Well, has she said she wants to get married?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Okay, Larry. Well, it's great having you call in this evening.
Thank you.
Just for the benefit of our listening audience, your girlfriend, her birthday is January 28, 1984. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they might want to look her up, too, and see that she's the Queen of Clubs with a Seven of Diamonds ruler. So you have a lot of good to be grateful for with this person. So you're very fortunate that you found her. Now, I'm not saying for sure it's going to be her, but there certainly is enough latitude in these cards that's exactly what it could be for both of you.
Well, it seems destined.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, Six of Hearts is that card of destiny, you see, and you got it long range next year. She's got it as a result card next year.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the cards are beginning to fall in different places here. So, well, Larry, I appreciate you calling.
Thank you very much. And
thanks for your poem that you
sometime.
Sent me today. I might read that over the air sometime.
Oh, great. If you think it's worthy, go for it.
Okay. All right, Larry. Take it easy.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
All right. You're very welcome. Take care. Okay, we have at least two lines open. I think lines 2 and 3 is my understanding. So please call in if you want to. We're going to play the song Sri Ram right now. When we come back, if we have anybody on the phone, we're going to talk. So let's talk. Talk to you soon. Be right back. done. Welcome back, everybody. It's Robert Lee Camp coming to you live from California. And that was the song Sri Ram, which is one of my favorites on the CD. And I had one person who purchased the CD say that was one of her two favorites. I love getting feedback for the songs. Also, I love getting feedback on this show. If you have suggestions or ideas, please email me. My email address is robert@7thunders.com. I'm very open to suggestions and ideas. Sometimes my listeners and readers of my books have the best ideas, much better than mine, and I just love hearing about them. So without further ado, we have line 3 is open. We have somebody waiting on line 2, but line 3 is definitely open. If you want to be next, call in. And right now we want to talk to Bonnie Nadine from El Paso, Texas. Are you there, Bonnie?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Destiny, and how are you?
I'm good. You probably don't know much about my books or anything, right?
No, sir, I sure don't.
Oh, good. So this is going to be, for you, a completely new experience.
Yes, it is.
But I assume you're calling because you may have a question about something, or you're
just
trying it out.
I have a friend who is ill, and I'm wondering if he's going to find the right doctors and medications for his illness.
Well, do you know his birthday?
Yes. 15 March, 1936.
Is this somebody related to you?
No, but we're close as family.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, at the age that he is, health is, and this happens to all of us, when we get above age 60, health becomes a major factor in our life until we die.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And, you know, you're only 51 now, so you're starting to see that, but it hasn't really caught up with you just yet, has it?
Right.
But he's in the midst of that, where every year it's about health.
Yes.
So, you know, when we read people of that age, it's a little different, because there are cards that we read. Like in my book, The Cards of Your Destiny, it has a group of cards for every year of our life. And I'm looking at his cards for this year. And I get some general indicators here, but it's really kind of difficult because so much depends upon the individual.
Yes.
Like sometimes people want to check out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they will show cards of success when they die because that's what they really wanted.
I understand.
Even though for somebody else, dying would be a terrible tragedy.
Yes.
So looking at his cards, he has a protective influence over him this year in the area of health.
When
so I think things are going to work out
this
fine.
Are you talking about a geographical area?
What's that?
When you say in the area, does that mean in the geographical area?
No, I mean in the department of life that rules health.
Oh, okay.
In other words, his health, the health stuff has protection around it for him, even
okay.
though he's having some problems right now. Now, did you say he's something about an operation, maybe, or what?
No, not an operation, sir.
Okay. Well, he enters into a new period of the year. There, in this system that I use, there are seven periods of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And he enters into a new period on August the 18th, and I think you're
okay.
going to see a change for the better in his health.
All right.
Starting, you know, shortly after that date.
Okay.
So I guess your life's perfect, huh?
Mostly, kind of. I'm really curious about my friend because he's been so ill since back in, I'd say late February. And I was hoping that you could tell me when he will again be in the El Paso area because I think that may hinge on his getting better. I'm not sure.
So you're thinking if he moves back to the area, it's going to help his health?
I think so, but I'm really not positive.
Well, I don't see any indications of his moving showing up between now and his next birthday.
between now and his next birthday, no indications of his moving. Okay?
Nothing strong. Nothing that I would be willing to bet money on.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean he won't do it, but it's not showing up here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best I can tell you.
Okay. All
right.
What
about you, Bonnie? Nadine?
I'm sorry?
What about you?
I think my life is okay. I really and truly was just concerned about my friend.
And are you married or single?
I'm single.
Ah. You dating anybody?
No, sir. I have a thriving, happy... thriving, happy business, and I'm just hunky-dory. I was just worried about my friend.
Oh, I see. Well, I can see your concern about, you know, it's showing up that you have a lot of concern about him. It's one of the challenges for you this year.
Yes, yes.
You know, he must be pretty close to you in some ways.
Yes, he's very dear to my heart. And unfortunately, I mean, it saddens me that you see no indications of his getting back to El Paso, but that's just
the
way it goes.
Well, it's not, you know, this is not the final word on it, but a move like that would usually be indicated by a five. Five represent travel, changes, moves. You have cards for moving this year.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Hmm.
But he doesn't.
I have cards for moving this year. Oh, that's rather odd, okay.
Well, you know, it's probably something that you haven't, it hasn't hit you just yet.
Could be. And that would be between now and my next birthday?
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. There's no way they're turned around, huh?
There's no way they're turned around, nope. Because your birthday is very different than his.
Yes, I'd say so. Okay.
This is a mathematical formula, by the way. It's a mathematical system. The cards for your whole life are already fixed from the moment of your birth.
Okay.
We don't even use cards. There's no physical cards that we deal out or anything. Every card for your whole life is already there in the book.
Oh.
From your birthday to your death.
Wow.
Well, actually, it goes all the way to age 100. We don't predict people's deaths. That's something we just don't do.
Okay.
You know, it's just not right to do that, so we don't do that.
Wherever he is right now is where he is going to be staying until his next birthday.
Well, it appears that way. It appears that he is, I don't see any strong indications of moving.
Okay.
So
when you say moving, you mean relocation or travel?
I mean either one.
Oh, okay.
In his particular case, I don't see indications of either one.
Okay.
How often do you communicate with him?
Not very often. We've sort of lost track of each other, but I do know that he is quite ill, and I don't hear from him much. I heard from him about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you know, you can send him prayers, and that can be helpful.
Yes. Okay, well, Mr. Destiny, thank you very, very much. I appreciate your help tonight.
Bonnie, Nadine, thank you for calling here. I appreciate that, too.
Thank you, my dear. Bye-bye
All right,
now.
Have a nice evening. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, when I've studied the cards of older people, and even my teacher, Arnie Lean, who died, you know, in his early 60s, and he knew the cards really well, but he wasn't able to predict his own death. And he had terminal cancer when I met him. And, you know, he would say a few words sometimes about his cards, and he would say, "Oh, I'm going to get better in this period." And he was really trying to, he lived like 3 years longer than they diagnosed him to live once he had gotten the cancer. And I don't think he was on any kind of chemo or anything. I don't think he refused. I think he refused that. But he died about 6 months after I took classes with him. And then I heard about it afterwards. And that's when I wrote my first book after his death. I began writing my first book, which was called The Atlantean Oracle. Okay, we have two lines open, everybody. We have line two and line three. If you wanted to call in and have a question about anything, now's your time. We're going to take a short break. We are going to play the song, the Krishna Lullaby song, and then we'll be right back after the break from my new CD, Bhakti Rock. Oh, we have Rosanna now on line two, so line three is open. I'll talk to Rosanna after we hear the song Krishna Lullaby. Be right back.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare